A good bit better than you by the sounds of it, Ollie.
Yeah, I don't wish this on anybody, my friend, especially not you, especially not you. Although you've almost been driven sick with some of the French football, especially watching PSG recently. It's not the beautiful world of entertainment that we were expecting from PSG this season.
No, it's certainly not, and they've not started this year particularly well either. For anybody who saw their match against Bordeaux last night, they won't have been too impressed by Paris Saint-Germain. They're still suffering from a lot of the same problems they had in the first half of the season.
I mean,
and the team still isn't clicking together, and it's not quite there for them at the moment.
You say it's not clicking together, but I mean, this is a group of stars that should still be walking the Ligue 1 in terms of there is no side in French football right now with a collection of players of this quality.
Well, absolutely. If anything, the French league as a whole is getting weaker. I mean, we've seen from this transfer window there's a lot of fairly big names from France leaving to clubs that you would probably consider to be smaller. So, for Paris Saint-Germain not to be walking away with the league titles, it's quite remarkable, because the big teams in France, or the traditional big teams like Lyon and Marseille, are certainly struggling in terms of finances, and they're having to get rid of players. So Paris should really be clear at the top of the league, and the fact that they're only top by goal difference is really quite remarkable at this stage of the season.
Let's stay with PSG then, and the problems with this side. Is there anybody that has completely disappointed you in terms of their performances so far this season?
In terms of complete disappointments, I think it's difficult to say. I mean, I think as individuals, most of the team are holding their own. The obvious person to look at in terms of disappointment would be Javier Pastore, who started his Paris Saint-Germain career very, very well, but has never really carried it on. And certainly in the second half of last season, he really struggled sort of physically. He didn't really look his old self, and that's kind of carried on into this campaign too. He's been very flat. He's never really shown the form that he showed initially when he was with PSG, and it really looks as though he's starting to become a peripheral figure for them. So in terms of disappointments, he's certainly the biggest. In terms of the people that they signed this season, you've got to look at Dutch right-back Gregory van der Wiel, who's not managed to hold down a place in the first team at the moment. He's been second choice to Christophe Jallet, and it doesn't really look as though he's going to break his way back into the first team. So he's another one of the big disappointments from Paris Saint-Germain this season.
How much of the blame, if there is any blame at all, can be put on Carlo Ancelotti and his inability to get this side to gel together, or is it maybe the board that need to be looked at, or do we just point the finger at the players themselves?
I think it's a little bit of everything, to be honest. I don't think Ancelotti's tactics have brought out the best of the players. I think the board have maybe brought in too many sort of individuals rather than team players. They're probably lacking a sort of dynamic midfield player who'll break forward and get into the box and score goals, maybe somebody like Frank Lampard. But the players themselves have all often looked quite lacklustre. And I think while some people would point the finger at Ancelotti and maybe suggest that he should be able to motivate them better, I certainly think there has to be a degree of self-motivation, and the team at the moment really aren't showing that.
You talk about Ancelotti's tactics there, and last night there's been some questions about the formation that was played against Bordeaux. They're not a bad side, Bordeaux, and a difficult place to go to on occasion. But what was this lineup that Ancelotti's chosen? Because some people have it as a 4-2-2-2 with very little width whatsoever. How did you see them coming out last night? Where were the problems with his tactics yesterday evening?
Well, Ancelotti teams have typically relied on their fullbacks. And Paris Saint-Germain's fullbacks, Maxwell and Jallet, they're probably not the best at going forward. Jallet certainly likes to get forward, but his delivery into the box isn't particularly consistent. Maxwell is intelligent when he does go forward, but obviously he's a little bit older, so he tends to be fairly selective as to when he bombs on. So that does tend to leave PSG either a little bit lopsided or lacking width. Bordeaux are a team who like to play narrow, and I think the way that Paris Saint-Germain set up last night really played into their hands, because Bordeaux were able to contain them quite easily. They managed to isolate Zlatan Ibrahimovic. As for the Paris Saint-Germain formation. It was very difficult to make out exactly what it was. They had obviously Blaise Matuidi and Marco Verratti in the midfield, but beyond that, it was seemed to be very sort of fluid. They had Ibrahimovic up front. Lavezzi was out on the left more often than not, but he struggled to get into the game. And in the centre, they had Lucas and Menez, who are sort of swapping positions, but neither of them were really managed to be effective. Bordeaux managed to dominate the midfield, and Paris Saint-Germain strikers saw very little of the ball. And actually, the fact that PSG won the game was a little bit of an injustice, because they had been the second best side in that match.
You talk about the Lucas Moura, and there's so much expectation on this guy coming into PSG, the amount of money they've spent, the amount of interest he's had from around Europe. How have you seen his first couple of games in with this Paris side, and how is he settling in general in French football?
Well, I think it's a very difficult move to make from Brazil, where it's obviously very hot at the moment, into France, where it's the middle of winter, it's very cold, it's been snowing in Paris. So even just that transition has been a sort of big eye-opener for him. In terms of his performances on the pitch, I don't think anybody could really have expected much more of him. In his first match against Ajaccio, he was probably Paris Saint-Germain's outstanding player. He really got on the ball, he took on players, he looked direct, he looked physically up to the challenge of Ligue 1, which has to be considered very encouraging for Ancelotti and PSG as a whole. Last night, he struggled to get into the game more. He was peripheral, but by the same token, he managed to get the assist for Ibrahimovic's goal, so it would be churlish to criticise him for his performance last night too much.
Another big game that took place in Ligue 1 this weekend was Marseille against Montpellier. Montpellier struggled so much at the beginning of this season, and we've seen them improve ever so slightly as it's gone on. Have you noticed a big difference in the way they're playing now out of the Champions League and the way they were playing before they were knocked out of the Champions League?
Yeah, I think it's certainly eased some of the pressure off them. Montpellier obviously don't have a big squad. They've been affected by injury problems all season. And the fact that they're not playing midweek games now, or at least not playing so many midweek games now, has certainly liberated the squad a little bit. They look like they've got a bit more energy. The return of John Utaka from a fairly long-term injury has certainly improved their attacking options. And the likes of Emmanuel Herrera has started to settle into the French game a little bit more, and he's finding the net. So things are certainly looking up for Montpellier, although they are still a mid-table team, and they don't look a great deal better than that at the moment, to be honest.
Superstar defender can play centre-back and obviously a full-back as well, Yanga Mbiwa. He's attracted a lot of attention in the August transfer window. He had a solid game last night against Marseille, despite them conceding three goals. And Mbiwa, his future, is it coming to an end in France? Is he going to be moving on in this transfer window?
Well, the media certainly seem convinced that he'll be leaving. The reports are that this deal could be done either today or tomorrow. And I think the way it's looking at the moment, it's inevitable that he'll go. He was obviously a player who was very much courted in the summer by several Premier League teams. So I think considering Montpellier's struggles, their failure to progress in Europe, I think it's inevitable that he'll go now.
I apologise there, Robin. We just lost you, as you said, who he's been linked with. Can you just repeat that? Just the team name for us. We got everything else apart from the team name, mate.
Yeah, no problem. He's been linked with Newcastle, QPR, Arsenal to some extent, although this is obviously a lesser extent, but it's Newcastle that he'll go to.
Do you think that's been influenced by the Debuchy signing as well?
Well, I think Newcastle having so many French players is certainly a draw for people who are currently in Ligue 1 to go to England. You know, so Newcastle are obviously a very big club. They're getting a terrific support. They're obviously going to pay better than anybody in France. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the fact that so many players are there is certainly an influence on guys leaving France to go there.
And on the other side of that Montpellier game, of course, Marseille ending up 3-2 winners in that game. There's been a lot of talk around Joey Barton's future and potentially staying in Marseille. The club seem to want him to be there. Is there a deal likely to be done this transfer window, or will it be hold it off until the end of the season?
Yeah, there certainly has been a lot of talk. The Marseille fans love Barton. They really love his style. I can see a deal being done to keep Barton in Marseille because he seems to be fairly settled there. He seems to fairly enjoy the life. Although their financial position is just a little bit uncertain. So I think if anything happens, it'll probably be in the summer.
Robin, we were talking with this Marseille side a lot about André-Pierre Gignac at the early part of the season. How important has André Ayew's contribution been to this Marseille side? Because at such a young age as well, he's really taken a lot on his own shoulders this season so far.
Yeah, he's been a guy that there's been a lot expected of him since the World Cup in 2010, where he was obviously an outstanding player. In Marseille this year, obviously, with the departure of Remy now as well, there's going to be added expectation on Ayew's shoulders. But he's been excellent for them. He's been very consistent. There was a bit of a lull at the start of this season. There were some questions asked about his form, but he's responded very well. And he's doing very well for Marseille at the moment.
With Marseille losing Remy, we've questioned their squad size and that could hinder their title chances, Robin. Does it show that they're confident with the squad that they've got? They can continue to press, that they've let him go to Queen's Park Rangers?
I'm not sure that it's anything really to do with the confidence in the squad. I'm sure the owners feel that the squad are probably performing above expectations, probably performing above even their fans' expectations at the moment, even though the Marseille supporter obviously very passionate and want to see their team win the league. I feel that the Marseille fans probably accept at the moment sitting in third's a very good result considering the squad they've got. Marseille are a team who are financially pretty tight at the moment, and you know they were looking to offload a big wage, and Remy's obviously provided them the chance of doing that while getting a significant return in terms of a transfer fee. So I think This was a move that was certainly motivated more by the sort of financial aspect of it rather than because they're completely happy with the squad they've got.
But it's not a huge loss for them in terms of Remy didn't provide much this season so far for Marseille.
Yeah, I think that's another reason why they can justify his departure at the moment. He had only scored one league goal that came against Lyon, and when he struck it, they were already 4-0 down. So, you know, he's not scored a goal of consequence all season, really. The forwards are doing well. It's an area of the team that has got maybe just a little bit more depth than the rest. So, you know, in that regard, they can probably just about afford to let him go.
Robin, there's you said there are plenty of other people potentially leaving Ligue 1 in these last couple of weeks of the transfer window. Gorkov at Lyon's come up, Yann Mvir's come up as well at Rennes, and Younes Belhanda. Where do these three, do you see all three of them going, and where do you see them landing?
Well, Lyon have said that they want to get rid of one of their big earners. Gorkov has been persistently linked with Arsenal on loan. However, I would be surprised if that move came off. I think it's more likely that Michel Bastos leaves Lyon in the winter. It looks like Germany is going to be his destination, and Schalke is the team that have been most closely linked with him. In terms of Belhanda, Fenerbahce have claimed that you know a deal was more or less already done with the player, and they've just got to negotiate a fee with the club. So it looks like Belhanda is going to go to Turkey, which would be quite a surprising move, I would say. Sorry, who was the other player you mentioned?
I was going to say, what about Yann Mvir, Rennes? Because he was, again, a really hotly touted youngster.
Yeah, Mvir looks like he's going to go to England as well. There's been a lot of speculation linking him with QPR, and it seems that QPR is going to be his move. There has also been rumours of a move to Rubin Kazan for Mvir. However, at the moment, they're under a transfer embargo, which means that's complicated. They're still discussing that with the Russian FA. I believe that takes place this week. So that could have implications, but it looks like Mvir will go to England.
How unfortunate is this sort of thing for French football? Because it seems like every time it starts to grow and move forward, it's then stripped of its assets by the bigger leagues, and it has to rebuild again. I mean, can the league ever hope to progress without it being through the way that PSG have done it?
I think it's very difficult now just because of the economics of everything. English teams, maybe Spanish teams and Italian teams, German teams, they can play more money than the French league teams at the moment. So it's inevitable there's going to be an exodus of top players to these leagues. You know, it's difficult for any team to break into the sort of upper echelons of European football now without a huge influx of money. So, you know, I would be pessimistic in that I think it will be very difficult for a team to really establish themselves on a long-term basis without the likes of a Qatari person or company coming in and introducing all this fresh money.
Robin, we're just over halfway through the season. Just quickly before you go, the title race is so tight at the moment in Liga. Marseille, Lyon or PSG, out of those three, who's going to end up picking up the Liga title?
I can't see past Paris Saint-Germain, even though their performances aren't great. I just can't see Marseille and Lyon sustaining themselves.
Ah, you're not holding out for the Montpellier Cinderella story again, man. I'm disappointed. Disappointed.
No, I don't think so, I'm afraid.
Not a trouble moment.
Sorry,
you go. No, I was going to say, not a trouble, my man. If you want to hedge your bets and put all your eggs into PSG's basket, I don't think there are many other people that would bet against that, in fairness. But Robin, thank you so much for joining us here today on World Football Daily. It's great to get into a little bit of Liga transfer news and, of course, having a look at PSG and how they can't quite wrap up the league and dominate it like we're expecting. And we love getting you on the show whenever we can, mate.
Thanks very much. It's been great to be here.
Hey, have a very good afternoon indeed. Mr. Robin Berner there of Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things French football and PSG. We were expecting, after last season being pushed to the final couple of weeks by Montpellier, losing out in the Ligue 1 title race, we were just expecting the Parisian giants with Thiago Silva and Ibrahimovic to just walk this season. I said it plenty of times when those signings came through. It was like, all right, might as well hang up the boots, man. Yeah, hang up the boots. What's the point in playing in Ligue 1 when you've got PSG that are with that squad and that quality? And Raf, in your terms, do you look at the players on the pitch, or do you look at Ancelotti and the way he's approaching these games for PSG? Because there have been some weird starting lineups.
Well, I think he's trying to keep all those egos happy there. There's plenty of star power now at PSG, and all these people want to be successful and be on the pitch. I'm sure he's having an interesting time trying to deal with that all. So I don't put it necessarily on Ancelotti. I think it's definitely on the players to really kind of come together, use the talents that they have and gifts that they're given and really put it together, really.
I'd be very interested to see what happens in the next few weeks, of course. I mean, this title race could easily be over in the next 6 weeks or so. Could easily also be in someone like Lyon or Marseille's favour, the way PSG are playing. No one knows how they're going to turn out. And at the moment, they're just scraping by with results. And it's kind of frustrating to watch because, again, it's another side that you look at and you think, you could be so good if you played everybody to the best of their ability in a neat, organised team, and with people kind of dipping in form every so often, and with, you know, just different formations and a lack of consistency in that side, you do kind of get a feeling that maybe just settle it all down, Ancelotti. Pick a starting 11, pick a formation that works. Don't try and force too many people into that side. Don't try and put, you know, square pegs in round holes. Find a side that works for you and stick with it and keep going with it. Because PSG, as I say, should be dominating this league completely. Great to catch up there on some of the transfer stories as well. Joey Barton, a potential stay in Marseille. The fans love him down there. And I don't think Joey's going to be too welcome back at Queen's Park Rangers anytime soon. Gorkov leaving Lyon potentially. We're trying to get the big money earners out. We were expecting Michel Bastos to be gone in the August transfer window. It was very surprising that he stayed around in Lyon and nobody really approached them for him either. Well, not that we know of anyway. There might have been something behind closed doors, but could Bastos be on his way out before January's over as well? Just a couple of weeks left. And Yann Nwia, the man who was wanted by, you know, Arsenal, Manchester United were supposedly interested, Liverpool were interested, and now looking like it's going to end up being at Queen's Park Rangers in the relegation battle. A very disappointing
Rangers, who is linked with everyone at the moment, which is, you know, I guess not surprising with Harry the Wheeler Dealer. But what is kind of interesting about Ligue 1 and the French football these days, or right now especially, and I think you kind of touched on this a little bit, Juice, is just the sheer number of people moving out of the league. You know what I mean? Mm. I just feel like they're a major export right now. I can't tell you how many French players are linked to Newcastle and, you know, just linked all over the place. And it seems like they're the ones that are really kind of supplying all the major talent around Europe right now.
Well, we spoke about it in the summer as well, because people were saying, you know, this Montpellier side, it's fantastic. They've won Champions League football. Will there be a to attract some stars? And I remember saying, though, that French football, however kind of quality it is to, and it is interesting, entertaining football. I love the style of football they play. It's quick, it's exciting. But at the same time, I said, you know, the only team that's going to be able to attract players is going to be PSG, because everybody else is used as a feeder club for the rest of Europe. And it's just, unfortunately, the way it is now, in that players will kind of start their career in France, get a reputation, and then move on to something bigger and better. And it's just become the norm, as Robin was saying there. And it's holding the league back in terms of its growth and its potential. And it's also meaning that that gap between, you know, the top three, four leagues in Europe and leagues such as the French league is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, you look at the Portuguese league, it's very similar. You know, players will start to make their name in Portugal and be whipped away to somewhere else bigger and better around Europe. And the gap between Portuguese leagues and Spain, their next door neighbours, is just a massive gulf in terms of attractability when you look at, you know, the top sides in Spain compared to the top sides in Portugal. And I know kind of, you know, Porto and Benfica, you know, can sometimes prize the odd kind of reasonable big money move, but in general, they're the ones that are getting picked apart when it comes to transfer windows, when they have quality players such as Hulk, such as Falcao, such as David Luiz. And it is a real shame, because you obviously want to see that parity in football, so we can, you know, see... I don't want to see all the best players in the world in the Premier League, because it makes the Champions League extremely boring. I want to see parity, especially financial parity, throughout European football. And let's just have some like Champions League games where you have no idea who's going to win. You have no idea who's going through that group. Let's have a full Champions League group stage where you can't pick who's going to go through these groups, because there's no kind of gulfing gap between French and English, or English and even something like Belgium. I mean, not massive leagues, but it'd just be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be a change, it'd be different, and it would make it far more entertaining for the viewer as well, I think.
Agreed, man.
And on that note, we shall move it on here on World Football Daily. And when we come back after this brief break, we're going to be getting into all things Premier League with our man back once again on the WFT airwaves. Owen O'Callaghan from Fox Soccer will be joining us after this break here on WFD.